Well, good morning, good afternoon, everybody. It's the Hour of Truth. I have Phil Walthall here on my right, James Usler on Skype, and we're sitting knocking around what to talk about. Hulk can say hello.
Hello. Hello.
Jeez. Okay. And, you know, the thing that is really tracking as far as what we're all really talking about is that we need to learn how to avail ourselves rather of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ than to spend all the time we do trying to position ourselves to look like we're justified in what we're doing, and talking about talk about the who's it, Paul, or talk about the like a boxer throwing punches into the air, nothing really landing on anybody. I have no idea where that is.
It's in the Bible.
Thank you for that. That's helpful. The
talk about beat the air, I think he says.
The desperation of disconnectedness drives us back to putting our eyes on Jesus. Yes, we're going to fail. Yes, we're hideous failures of insignificant insanity and other things. And it's all not good. But you know what? In fact, Phil was in Hebrews 12, which pretty much says that. You can...
Thank you, David.
And Hebrews 12, we're going to try and get back to a subject that's truth and try and stick to that. I hope I have a hard enough time as it is. Okay. 12:1, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, the cloud of witnesses are the testimonies that are given in 11. And, you know, Abraham believed and trusted in the Lord to provide him not just a sacrifice, but his own righteousness. Right? That Abraham needed the same righteousness that we need. And that is the thing that is consistent through all the testimonies, is not only did they believe God, but they trusted that he was, his commitment to them, to the promise to provide the sacrifice, was operational because it was the agreement that it was the covenant he set forth with Abraham. It was reckoned to him as righteousness because he believed God. And we get all bound up in trying to make it overcomplicate the simplicity of the message. And the message is, keep your eyes on Jesus. Do what he said do. You know, if he gives you all authority, then how much authority do you have? If you can tread on serpents and scorpions and have authority over demons and authority, what is it about all that isn't all? You need this stuff to be able to carry out what he wants us to do. Then, you know, the simplicity of believing what he said and not try and make it, you know, into some kind of doctrine that justifies your inability to believe it. Back to Hebrews 12:1. We've dealt with the cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let's run with patience the race that is set before us. That patient word there is really staying on the path, not able to be knocked off one side or the other. You put one foot in front of the next, and you just keep going. Because when you are like Paul in 2 Timothy, and you've run the race, you've completed your course, you've run the race, then you can get the prize. The prize being the inheritance. The redemption actually pays out. You have this promissory note at the moment, but it pays out at the end. Lay aside the sin that so easily beset us. Looking unto Jesus, and that's it. The sin's going to beset us, and then Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross for us. It doesn't say that there, but that's absolutely how it is. He endured the cross for us. He took our shame. And it's over. He's finished. He's now sitting on the right hand of God. At the throne of God. Well, you know, we many times, and I know every set of circumstances with people is a little bit different. But James, you're swamped under the same sort of swamp that Phil's swamped under, and everybody else is swamped under. Mine is manifest another way. But the fight, and it is a fight for me, is to do little things that I presumptively took no thought about whether I did them or not before at all. It's a fight to do the least, littlest thing. And it requires, that for me, I have to change my attitude. That if that's what it takes, then that's all right, because I serve Jesus Christ and he's given me what I need to do what he wants me to do. And that's a real simple thing. But, you know, you come to my door at night, you're liable to hear me yelling. But that's because I'm having to put off, cast down these vain imaginings that I can't let the enemy make a stronghold. I can't let him have any ground. And if I do that, I tell you that the magnification, the multiplication factor of all the other stuff that will come if I'm not diligent on that, of fear and depression and desperation and despair. And you have to put all that stuff off. You have to fight it. That's mine. That doesn't mean it's yours. It doesn't mean it's, as I turned to Phil and said that was his. It doesn't mean it was his. It doesn't mean it's James's. Davey asked if I want to know a secret. I absolutely do. That Jesus came to free us from that stuff. He didn't come to oppress us. He came to set us free. And that, just simply knowing the truth and believing it. Believing what he said. And you come and you put the word on the situation. And what we most often are needing to address is our attitude about what's going on. I know that I have found that I thought mine was all right. Mine, in many cases, not near as all right as I thought it was. I know. Dave said I don't need to yell. I understand that, but it gets me mad, and so I frequently end up yelling. Yeah, the faith horn. That's use the faith horn. That's a good word. Yeah. Good word. I'm sitting here trying to type, which can take me half the show just to hammer out a couple letters. It is. You going to say something there, Jane?
I was going to say you're twice as fast as I am.
Oh, man. Well,
I mean, I can say something, though, Paul.
I'm waiting.
Okay. You know, we're talking about, you know, trust in the Lord. I can tell you I have, which is probably most people on listening right now know, I have this piece of equipment out here. Thanks, Phil. And a simple thing like primer. All I think about is going back to Rick's famous words, "Oh, I've got this." You know, I got it.
Famous last words, huh?
I got this. You know, in theory, it's very simple. You put some primer in a little paint can. You put some reducer in there, the right ratio. You mix it up, you put it in a spray gun, and you spray it. After you wipe it down clean, very simple. I got this. Well, I did it. Yeah, I got it. I didn't get what I wanted. I never got it. So I had to go back. I mean, you know, doesn't the scripture say, without me, you can do nothing? Is that correct?
That's right. And that's an humbling place to be.
Yeah, I mean, my gosh.
I got it.
Yeah. You know, this is supposed to be a simple task, but I went on my own understanding and confidence in myself, not confidence in you. And it cost me 10 hours of sanding. So, I mean, from this point on, I mean, I've just decided that I can't accomplish anything with that or anything in my life without you, Lord, because I can utterly fail at something that seems so simple. And I think it's just that the Lord wasn't with me in it. You know, I wasn't serving the Lord while doing that.
Well,
that makes sense.
you were a trifle alright, help me out, I'm blanking. You're a trifle presumptuous. That's what I was trying to say.
Absolutely. And it reminds me, Paul, of when you, you were talking this morning that we're bought with a price. We no longer are our own. And I didn't have that attitude going out there and priming that thing the first time, you know what I mean? I should have lifted it up to the Lord. Done what he wanted me to do and walked after him and trusting in his ability, not my own ability. As Davy put, I will if the Lord wills.
Right. Well,
I assumed I had it. I got it.
And now my presumptive places, I don't know if I can get to, I don't know, man. We'll have to see how it works, but I have no confidence that I'm going to be able to do anything. And I certainly...
It's in the Lord's ability.
Right.
I don't give up on my ability.
In fact, if anything...
wrong.
if anything gets done, it's because the Lord's good. And
amen.
His word is true.
If we're not walking in that, the Lord can't honor. You know,
right.
Just sit there and wonder why things aren't going how they should. It's just being, I don't even want to use the word naive, because you know why. It's just being foolish, I guess. I don't know if that's even the right word. Just we're being stupid.
Yeah. Well, going back to scripture for a moment. For consider him, back to Hebrews 12. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. These are kind of things that really that's what happens here. Your attitude, your lack of devotion to of lack of trust in the Lord's ability to deliver on his promise that without him you can do nothing, but you know, with him you can do all things. When you fail, you get become wearied and faint in your minds. You see desperation set in and hopelessness and that kind of thing. And those are things you have to reject and put off because, he is sitting here with his hand outstretched trying to extend to you, the help that you need. And you take your eyes off of him, I got it, and what happens? You proceed to prove that you ain't got it. And you end up weird and faint. And that's the reason. And when you learn that you don't have to be there, in fact, he didn't go there, so you don't have to. It is where you're, what you've learned to do, but you don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, he's given us a way out.
Now you can do his thing. And have confidence. And you can have him renew your strength. And refresh you. And meet you bountifully in ways that you never conceived was even possible. Let alone likely. I've said before that when Paul's talking about in Romans 5, we glory in tribulation. I don't glory in tribulation. But you know what? I'm wrong. Because how else? Where else are you going to learn to trust the Lord? Believe His Word. It's just that simplicity about the gospel in operation. The gospel in operation. The gospel in operation. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. How does that work? The trying of your faith works patience. That patience is reliability. The Lord is reliable. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. And you get into a place where you have to trust again in the simplicity of His gospel. You need Him. You thought you had it all in one sock. You didn't. And you know, if you don't fall, that's good and all that, but there's still no reason for you to get the swell head over it. Because the only thing that kept you from falling was the knowledge of His Word and the trust that He gets you through it. Both things operate equally. You don't have to do any of it. You know what I mean? You don't have to fall. Can't count it all joy. You do have to do that when you fall into diverse temptations, but when you don't, you need to count that joy too, and it counted as joy because He was able keep you from evil. Either way, it's all a testimony of how good He is, not a testimony of how faithfully we've listened, followed Him, and listened to Him, and done His Word. It's a good thing that the forgiveness He offers is not the forgiveness that we offer, because ours has strings. It's conditional. His is, you know, just believe me and receive, and become doers of my thing, not your thing. I'm soliciting some input from anybody. James? Phil? I heard something click.
I clicked hoping Phil was going to speak.
Yeah, he was on the way up with his microphone very tepidly, and he heard the click, and that microphone reversed direction.
I mean, talking about renewing your strength and stuff, it's only when we serve the Lord that our strength will be renewed. You know, it says to wait upon the Lord, and that waiting is like a waiter, a servant. And again, I mean, you spoke about we were bought with a price. we no longer are to live for ourselves. We're supposed to serve the Lord. He bought us. He died on that cross for us. He gave us a way out of this sinful flesh.
He gave us a way out of the penalty.
The bondage, I guess, of the...
Yeah. Right. The key, backtracking a bit, is it to wrap your mind around Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that check him out once in a while. I don't think that's what it says. Rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, here's a radical concept. Most of my life, I never paid any attention whatsoever to it being a problem if it's impossible to please him. Because, you know, I don't know, I guess my mind said, well, he's got plenty of people trying to do that. What one more? The problem is, if I'm his, then I need to be about the business diligently of seeking to please him. And without faith, which incidentally isn't even something that in this case is of my own origin anyway. This is faith that is his faith. He's the one who had the faith to do the work of the Father, and that alone. His faith and trustworthiness is imparted to us. And we can't even claim credit for the faith to believe. That was really something that was implanted in us in spiritually. Otherwise, we would have never turned and cried out to Jesus. Never happened. You would never noticed it was a big deal. So, we get stunned and amazed about the radical concept that without faith it's impossible to please God. Well, always being one to seek to justify himself, goes, well, then it's really not my fault. Well, yeah. It's really not my fault that I can't please him. But it is. Because he's given us what we need. The only thing we at that point need to do is do something. And not just not just striving after wind, which is, Ecclesiastes, Solomon. But it is a positive forward moving process that you have initiates when you agree that it's a bad thing for it to be impossible to please God. That means nothing you can do. If you wanted to, and the sad truth was, I didn't really see that as a problem. But even if I wanted to, I couldn't please him. That's still, to me, that's radical. Say something?
Sure. Well, I was thinking about to every man's given a measure of faith. So, I mean, it's given to you. It says it's given to you, so it's just where we're putting that faith at. You know?
Yeah. That's true.
Too many times we have too much faith in ourselves.
Absolutely. You need to go
or other things, or
place it back on him,
or other people, or things, or
yeah.
I mean, how many people? But I mean, people look at some rich men. Say, now I'm going to say all rich men, but some rich men. I mean, they put their faith in what they have. They get them through. You know, some people put their faith in their jobs. You know, some people put their faith in their parents, and government, the other people. Family, you know, they put their faith, but they don't, I say people, including myself, we really need to put our faith in the Lord. And, that's pleasing to him when we do that.
They gave it to the chat. It's given you, so what are you going to do with it? So that's really, that's absolutely true.
There you go.
So the contrary way of saying this is, you know, with faith, you can please God. So put your faith back in Jesus Christ and get on with it. He that cometh to God must believe that he is.
Davey wrote a question in the chat. He said, what is faith for?
Well, I'd say at least in part from this verse, faith is the thing that makes it possible to please him. Faith is to access his righteousness, his forgiveness. And his mercy, his sacrifice, his forgiveness. And the good thing about all of this is the promise at the end. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. That is, that he is the sole determiner. he's the one in charge. He makes the rules. He's the designer of this plan. And You have to both believe that he is, God, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The good thing is, he's a rewarder. This doesn't come to you just as a compulsory thing, a practice of a dead. And metaphysical religion written out 4,000 years ago by people who wanted to control other people. This is a living God seeking to have a relationship with those he created and rewarding them for seeking to know him. Seeking to find out what pleases him. Faith is given that you may please God. Maybe put in the chat. And that's another
faith
attempt
is,
to overcomplicate. My attempt to overcomplicate the simplicity that is in that statement. Faith is given that you may believe God. That's what it is, and that's what it's for. And so why do you waste your time believing everything else? Absolutely true. Absolutely true. When you get pinpointed, you know, with a simplistic truth like that, you go, I don't really need an hour to do this. That was pretty much it.
You want to play a song?
Thank you, Davey. Oh, man. We need to be readjusted a little bit. For some reason, we think, I don't know. Our tendency to overcomplicate the simplistic is amazing. And I was just trying to be thorough. And now I'm seeking to justify myself in it. So I think I'm going to shut up while I have a chance.
Don't shut up. It keeps me from talking.
Much wind, much thunder, very little rain. Absolutely true. Sadly. Oh, man. Yes. Yes, indeed. It's so good. It's so good. You know, our Lord is trying to be good to us. And we want to complicate it, build our own little, appropriate our own little portion of it, and build our little construct that serves us. And what it was about was serving Him, learning to serve Him, learning to please Him. And just being. Keep talking. Yeah, that's working really well. And I just sit here and I read the way Paul sets it up to the Philippians is so good. It's so, so clear. And, you know, he winds it up in chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How much time do we spend thanking the Lord and rejoicing for in his grace and his mercy and his Just thanking Him for wanting to have a relationship with us at all. It's hard with the comments that are going off in the chat room. It's really hard to maintain composure, and it's already hard for me to have crystallize a thought. It's really difficult. So I'm going to pretend like chat room not there for a minute or two here. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You know, there's an element of that, of a reliability standard that there's a whole bunch of this. Up and down, up and down, up and down. Yeah, it's all, I know. I know. I looked up again and I'm seeing more chats, messages. And yes, it's hard. It's hard for me all the time. Absolutely. And I can try to blame the chat room, but it's really me. So, that being the case, we shall move on. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You know, stay on the path. Keep the rudders straight and don't swerve to the left and right. Be careful for nothing. What does that mean? Don't sweat. Are you going to get what you need? Don't sweat. Is the Lord willing to give you what you ask Him for? Don't sweat. Be careful for nothing, but everything, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. So many of us, I was one, I've seen it sadly in other people, but never humble yourself and ask for something. I need so and so, if we could do something about that, and you ask for it, not just walk into a room of people and say, I need such and such, and walk out, and then when nobody gives you the such and such, cop an attitude about it. Ask for what you need. Ask the Lord for what you need. And the outcome of that is going to be good, because it's His desire to give you what you're asking for. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. Thank Him for it before you see it. Thank Him for the opportunity. Thank Him for the instruction that He's taking your request. How good is that? I can think of many times when I, as a child, put in a request to my parents and they ignored me. So, you know, he's a perfect father, and he's taking your request. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's a big deal. Because, you know, I can remember, you know, my father, everybody ignored you. But you know, the good news is, most of the things that, it's probably a good thing that gets ignored. But you know, when I'm staying true to the gospel, and the things I'm saying are His things, praise God, that isn't ignored. And he's too good. He's just good. He's better than I deserve. Absolutely better than I deserve to me. And wants to be that way to all of us. The peace of God, you know, this is really a cessation of warfare with God. But, you know, it's also a cessation of self-justification. When you're sitting with the peace of God, you don't, your need to set up ways that this justifies you and makes it all right for you to be the way you are. You don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to do that anymore. You accept His terms of surrender. You agree with Him that He's right. That's not, you didn't realize, maybe you did. I didn't realize what a struggle it was to keep looking for ways to justify myself. And now, and it's a whole lot easier this way, just to notice that I'm justifying myself and stop myself in the tracks. Because it's, I don't want to hear it when I'm talking to somebody else, and I sure don't want to be guilty of doing it, because it is the opposite of speaking the truth of the word and agreeing with it, or hearing the truth of the word and agreeing with it. And the good news is this peace has the ability to pass understanding and keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, if there be any way I can justify myself and get me out of this, which of course is not there. I was just testing you to see if you're paying attention. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And that's set your affections on things that are above, out of Colossians 3. That's all that really is. If you feed yourself the corrupt nature and input of this world, you're not going to be doing this. And this is really just spend some time thinking about how good the Lord is. About how thankful you are to have His Word to reveal Himself to you, to have those over you in the ministry to reveal His nature to you. To reveal His character and make Him personal, a personal Father in heaven who cares about you. There's every reason in the world to, as David was talking about recently, I'm not really sure at this point whether it was last week or the week before, but so you say you want to know God. Well, that means He owns you. And you got to be a servant first. And, you know, people's hands start dropping when in their heads, which is where He asked you to raise it. But, because that's not something that most people are all that ready to do. But if you purchase with a price, the good news is that you have an opportunity to move from servant to friend and know what He's doing, know how He does it, know why He does it. And the revelation of His character and nature to you and your ability to acquire, appropriate, partake in that in some fashion is just the best news that ever got handed down. You know, next couple of verses. But now I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now in the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. You know, this is just talking about support, financial support. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That is not a natural place to be in. But if you can get there. I'd like to set up shop there myself. Because when I'm not agreeing with this, I'm wrong. But Paul had learned to be content. And you can go through Galatians where he talks about it. You can go through 2 Corinthians where he talks about it. That path was an interesting path. And I don't think, Lord help me, that was a tough path. I would prefer to get this right, with less drama. Getting me there. I would love to have my attitude adjusted with a lot less tough of a path. I don't know if it can work that way, but we'll have to see. I'm hoping. And, you know, I know there's part of that is I have to choose with everything I know and understand to follow his steps here, which is deep, set your minds on, set your affection on things that are above. That's one of the greatest drivers in being content where I'm at with what I've got. I know both how to be abased and how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And this is the big payoff verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is the positive opposite of without him we can do nothing. That's the negative. Truth is the truth, but it's a negative. The positive is once you've got him and he's got you, then there isn't anything you can't do that in learning, in fulfilling the charge to please him, to love God and love one another. There's these little treks we take through scripture, they don't dead end. You know, there's always a payoff. And the payoff is as you get to partake in the goodness of the Lord. And there's usually a promise at the end of it. And all you gotta do is agree with it. And know how faithful he is in honoring his promises. It doesn't get any better. It's a lot more trustworthy than the government. A lot more trustworthy. He doesn't change the rules in the middle of it. He doesn't give you a moving target. It's always the same thing. And I think I'm gonna wrap with that. Anybody else got anything to say? Waiting.
Not here, Paul.
Me neither.
Well, I thank you for joining us this week on the Hour of Truth. Texas service is up. Davey's got the computer going in the sound room and he is operationally controlling it. So there we go. Y'all have a great week. A great rest of your Sunday. And may the Lord bless you.
Bye, everybody.